Deuteronomy chapter 33, a continuation of Moses' blessing. Some call it a speech, and it's also in many regards a prayer for the 12 tribes of Israel. This is, if you're keeping an outline, see God's blessings for the tribe. This is verses 6 through 25, and we looked at last week the first tribe. We looked at Reuben in verse number 6, and today we're going to try to get through probably Joseph, and along with Joseph, his two sons, because they're always combined, or normally when there's a list of the tribes, Joseph sometimes is not listed. Ephraim and Manasseh are. But anyway, that's going to take us through verse 17. So if we could have two people read, starting with verse 7. And we're going to go through verse 17. So if somebody would read like six verses, starting with verse 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Somebody read through verse 12 and then 13 to 17. Volunteers, George, I see that hand waving frantically. Somebody on this side want to read? Anybody? All right, now we're switching. Oh, okay, Gary. All right, so Gary, you have 13 to 17, okay? All right, George, go ahead.
And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." And of Levi he said, "Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, 'I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again.' And of Benjamin he said, 'The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders.'
And of Joseph he said, 'Blessed be the Lord, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that croucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth of the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelleth in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brother. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh."
All right, thank you both. Remember that in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob gave special blessing to his sons, and there are some similarities and there are some differences between what Jacob said and what Moses says here. And we'll refer back, if you want to turn to Genesis 49 and mark it, we're going to be referring back some to chapter 49, making some comparisons between what Jacob wrote. Jacob included some rebuke as well. Moses, it was basically a blessing and a prayer, but Jacob did include rebuke. All right, let's start with Judah in verse number 7. This, of course, is the royal tribe. Bless you. Chapter 49, verse number 10 of Genesis, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come." Shiloh was a place, I think it meant peace, or blessing. And of course, it refers to the coming Messiah, who is referred to here, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Judah is a royal tribe, and out of that tribe, of course, came Messiah. Also, it's a military tribe, or was a military tribe. They marched in front of the army during the nation's journeys. Back in Numbers 2, I'm just going to read one verse there in Numbers. Numbers chapter 2, verse number 9. And all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. So they led the army. Moses asked the Lord to hear Judah's prayers, to give victory on the battlefield, and to bring their armies home safely. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, hear their prayers, bring unto his people, let his hands be sufficient for him." Some translations have, "With his hands he contended, and be thou an help to him from his enemies, from his adversaries." So Moses prayed that the tribe of Judah would be powerful and lead the nation to victory in battle, with God's help, of course. Because without the Lord, we can do nothing. Without the Lord, they could do nothing. So that's Judah. Then, beginning with verse number 8, Levi, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. This tribe was set apart to be the priestly tribe. Remember, in order to be a priest, you had to be a Levite. But you could be a Levite and not be a priest. You might be a helper, one that would help the priests in the sanctuary. So not all Levites were priests, but all priests were Levites. Otherwise, you couldn't be a priest. Jacob, in Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7, put Simeon and Levi together. Remember, they got in some trouble. We talked about it. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Remember, they had the men of Shechem all circumcised, and while they were sore, they attacked him, killed them all. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. In their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. All right, so they were linked together and declared that because of their sins, these two tribes would be scattered in Israel. Remember, Simeon eventually was absorbed into Judah, became a part of that tribe. The Levites lived in 48 special cities, so they were scattered, but that turned out to be a blessing, didn't it? Because now throughout the land, there were Levites who knew the word of God, knew the law, and were able then to teach it. And that was of great benefit to Israel. So that worked out really well for the people of Israel. And strange that in Jacob's blessings, he never mentioned the place that the Levites would have as far as the training of the people. He didn't bring up any of that, that they would teach the law, and all he talked about was that they would be scattered. The high priest, of course, verse number 8 in Deuteronomy 33, had the Thummim or the Thummim and the Urim or the Urim. Thummim, they're not real sure about the exact translation, but most say it probably means perfection. Urim, on the other hand, does mean light. And the Thummim and the Urim were part of the high priest's garb. They had, of course, a ephod, and then over the ephod, they had attached to it a breastplate. And the breastplate had the 12 stones, each stone for each different tribe, that were on the front of that breastplate. Some say the Urim and the Thummim were part of the two of those stones. Others say no, they were two separate stones that were kept in kind of a pocket between the ephod and the breastplate, and they were used to determine the will of God. We see it in 1 Samuel. We'll turn and look at one example here in a minute. But they somehow determined the will of God. No one knows exactly how it worked. Some say they lit up. Some say they were used, like maybe one was white and one was black, and they were used like dice, sort of, when we think of rolling dice, because in the New Testament, before the church was established, they still cast lots to try to determine the will of God. So be sort of down those lines. So we don't know exactly how they work, but we do know that they were used to determine the will of God. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, there's an example here. But the way it's worded, it sounds like God spoke to King David. And if he spoke to King David, then there'd be no need for the thumb and the Urim. So evidently, God spoke through the Urim and the Thummim. It was not an audible voice. It was instead God using those. But let's look at it together, beginning with verse number 6. It came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David of Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Hang on a second. Yeah. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard. And by the way, in the ephod, he's talking about the Urim and the Thummim. And then he asked, he said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has said? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Again, there'd be no need for the Urim and the Thummim if God spoke audibly to David at this point. So evidently, it was the Urim and the Thummim that gave the answer. That's just one example. There are others, and there are some that actually name Urim and Thummim, but here it just said ephod. Any translation? Does the New King James Bill have ephod?
Ephod.
Okay. I don't know if the ESV has it too as well. But anyway, that's the Urim and the Thummim. Any questions or comments about that? And then Holy One is referred to here in verse number 8, Deuteronomy 33. He said, with thy Holy One, probably referring to Moses because of what follows, whom thou didst test or prove in Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. And we know what happened there. Those are the two water out of the rock experiences. First one, Moses passed that test. He did what God said. The second time, he lost his temper, didn't he? And so he didn't do what God said, and he was then not able to go into the promised land. The test at Massah or Massa was Exodus 17, 1 through 7, if you recall. And then the test at Meribah was Numbers 20, verses 1 through 13. The Levites also, if you recall, in Exodus chapter 32, the sin of the golden calf, and the people were having an orgy and they were running around naked, and Moses came down and God wanted to destroy the people, and Moses intervened, but there were 3,000 that died, and guess who killed them? The Levites were sent out. And they had to kill their own brothers, their own relatives. And the reason, well, number one, it showed their zeal for God, because they were there alongside of Moses. When Moses called out the people, the Levites immediately gathered around with Moses and Aaron. Of course, Moses was a Levite, and Aaron was, of course, and Aaron as well. And Aaron, of course, was the high priest. But anyway, they went out and they slew those that were involved in this, those that refused to get right with God. It showed not only their zeal for God, but it showed that they loved the Lord and they desired to serve him so much that they were willing even to kill family members that were disobedient to the Lord. And that reminds me of passages like Matthew 10, 37, that says, if we love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, etc., etc., more than the Lord, we are not worthy to be his disciples. He said we are to be willing to take up our cross and follow him. And then Luke 14, 26 talks about, in comparison to our love for God, our love for husband, wife, kids, whatever, would be hate. That's how much more we should love the Lord. Don't see this much today, but that's what the Lord requires, though we often disobey him and put family first. Great privilege and responsibility for them to guard. Look at verse 9. The verse 9 talks about this greater love for God. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Again, the idea there is putting the Lord before all else. So Moses prayed that the Levites would do their duty, that God would protect them. Moses, at this point, omitted Simeon, but they didn't lose their identity. Write down this verse. We're not going to look at it, but in 1 Chronicles 4, 34 through 38, it talks about Simeon a little bit there. They still had an identity in the land. But then in verse number 10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law, great privilege. They shall put incense before thee. That was part of course, the ceremony and whole, which represented prayer, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. So they were to guard, they were to use the Urim and the Thummim, they were to teach the law, they were in charge of worship at the sanctuary. Moses prayed that the tribe of Levi, his tribe, would be given strength for their many ministries and be protected from their enemies. Look at verse 11. Bless the Lord his substance, except the work of his hand, smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And so that concluded Moses' prayer for his tribe, the tribe of Levi. Any questions about Levites? Next is Benjamin. Verse number 12, Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. The Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. So Moses prayed for God to shield the tribe of Benjamin. They were given the land north of Judah near Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, it was... Benjamin was a small tribe, was located adjacent to Judah's northern boundary, and Jerusalem was on Judah's northern border and the southern border of Benjamin. We know that Jacob's youngest son, Benjamin, was greatly loved by his father, Jacob. When Joseph was missing, of course, Jacob was extremely protective of Benjamin. I mean, he loved Benjamin. The sanctuary, of course, would end up in Jerusalem. So Benjamin would, the tribe was located close to where the Lord dwelt. Remember, that was deemed the place. We know that the Lord is in heaven, but he had a presence there. in the tabernacle, later the temple, between the cherubim there in the most holy place. He let his presence be known there. And so Benjamin, the tribe, were close to God. Like a father caring for his son, the Lord cared for this particular tribe. You know, the Lord loved all of the tribes, but he had a specific love for each one. And he had a special place, has a special place in his heart for the tribe of Benjamin. As a matter of fact, verse number 12, that last part of that verse, it talks about he shall dwell between his shoulders, speaks of God carrying. And this, of course, is anthropomorphism, giving God human qualities, that he would be able to carry this tribe upon his back between his shoulders, sheltering them from danger. We also know from places like Judges 5, verse 14, that they were a warrior tribe. They were a warrior tribe. So that's Benjamin.
Wasn't Paul a Benjamite?
He was. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, yes. And I think, was Saul? Where was King Saul at? Got a memory like an elephant. Unfortunately, the elephant's 110 years old. All right. Sorry I didn't shave today. The power went out for 3 hours last night. Messed up my whole routine. So I didn't trim the beard. I'm a little shaggy. I apologize for being disshuffled, but you probably didn't even notice. Did you?
I thought you let it grow.
No, I should. I mean, wouldn't I? I mean, I'm getting to where I'd make a good Santa. I got the costume. Well, that's not even a costume. That's real. All right, let's look at Joseph. And, of course, when we're talking about Joseph, we're talking about his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh as well. Again, they're listed different ways. You look at different lists of the 12 tribes throughout the Old and New Testament, and you will find sometimes Ephraim and Manasseh, sometimes Joseph, and sometimes Dan's left out because they got involved with some real wickedness and idolatry and different. So you'll see different names in different lists, but we know ultimately who the 12 tribes are. All right, both Moses and earlier Jacob spoke more of Joseph / Ephraim and Manasseh than any other tribe. He spoke a lot about them. I'm going to look at Genesis 49 again, and we can read what Jacob said about Joseph. 22 through 26. Somebody want to read those? All right, Becca, go ahead. 22 through 26.
Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, he shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren.
All right, thank you. All right, so Jacob had given, if you recall, the rights of the firstborn to Joseph. And then Joseph gave or made his younger son Ephraim to be firstborn over Manasseh. You can read about that in chapter 48 of Genesis. Moses blessed Joseph with precious or choice things. Here in verse 13, Deuteronomy 33, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. And then the last part of verse 17, we see Ephraim and Manasseh included with Joseph. And so we'll talk about that when we get down there. But anyway, for the precious things or the choicest gifts of heaven, for or with the dew, and for the deep that coucheth, some translation have crouches beneath, and for the precious, where you see precious, it could be translated choicest, fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things or precious yield put forth by the moon. All right, so Moses blessed Joseph with precious choice things, plenty of water, good land, fruitful harvests, valuable timber and minerals from the mountains and the hills in the tribe. In verse 14, he mentions the sun and the moon. Remember, these were the lights that God put in charge of the seasons, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 14. And so that's why we see them mentioned there in that verse. And then for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, talking about the finest produce that you could see grown. That's what Moses prayed for. In verse 16, where it says, separated from his brethren, precious things of the, or verse 17, excuse me. 16. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, for the good will or the favor of him that dwelt in the bush, talking about Exodus 3, the burning bush incident. That was the Lord, of course, in that bush that burnt, never burned out, when he called Moses. Remember that? That's what's being referred to here. Let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Speaking again of the best gifts separated from his brethren, could be translated a prince among his brethren. The last part of verse number 16. Of course, that was true literally in Egypt, wasn't it? Because Joseph was a prince. Second in command, I believe, was he not? And then also, not only the literal part of him in Egypt, but also spiritually and morally in the family, because he was a very godly man, probably the most godly of all the family, even more than Jacob, his father. Moses compared Joseph and his sons, talking about his glory, to a beautiful firstborn bull. That doesn't sound very beautiful. I guess it depends on your perspective. Now, if you like meat like I do, that'd be a beautiful thing, a bull being born, to be raised, to be future meat. What, did I forget something, do something wrong?
No, I'm saying back in those days, cattle like that was valuable. You know, commodities.
It's valuable now, my friend. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, that was their livelihood. If they lost too much of that, they were poor.
Also,
you know,
the progeny.
That's true. Yeah. Pardon me?
The progeny that bull would produce for that.
That's true. It's like a thoroughbred racehorse.
Mm-hmm. So they saw the beauty in the strong, you know, yeah. Healthy.
Mm. Making me hungry for beef. Anybody bring any beef? All right, so again, Moses compared Joseph and his sons with his glory, could be translated, to a beautiful firstborn bull with sharp horns that could defeat every enemy. And then the word firstborn, of course, firstling in KJV, is significant because Joseph inherited the blessing of the firstborn again when Jacob rejected Reuben. And Ephraim was made firstborn over his brother Manasseh. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh were known for their fruitful lands, their large flocks and herds, and also their military power. Notice verse 17. His glory is like that of the firstling of his flock, or bullock, excuse me. And his horns are like the horns of unicorns. Many translations have wild ox. I think that would be a little more accurate than a unicorn. With them he shall push the people. That literally means gore the people. Speaking again of the military might. With them he shall push the people together, all of them, to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, the thousands of Manasseh. What that's talking about is the military strength. Ephraim was stronger than Manasseh. They would enjoy military might along with Joseph, also enjoy material prosperity. And again, Ephraim and Manasseh are included with Joseph, and they normally are if they're listed at all. But there was a problem with this, with these tribes, and that was, or tribe, this tribe, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, however you name it. They got proud. They were proud of their heritage. Nothing wrong with being proud of your heritage. But if you're so proud you don't listen to the other tribes, you're kind of a renegade. It caused some problems for the nation in the future. So they got themselves in trouble. But Ephraim did enjoy future military successes more so than Manasseh. And it went along with kind of a continuation of Jacob's blessing of the younger over the older in Genesis chapter. Let me go ahead and read. This one is in Genesis 48. Genesis chapter 48 and verse number 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. All right, any questions about this tribe?
Joseph knew right from wrong because the Ten Commandments had been given yet. Potiphar's wife tested him.
Yes.
That was instilled in him.
Absolutely.
Joseph,
you figure from teenager on, he was on his own, him and God. And look at how he lived his life. Kind of like Daniel. You can't help but admire Daniel. There aren't too many men in the Bible that were written about that there's nothing negative written about them. Though Joseph did have, you could see the pride with the coat of many colors.
That's also a proof of God's laws being in your heart, because that was before the Ten Commandments were ever given.
Well, they weren't in the heart yet, but conscience was. You had conscience. And so,
well, that's your heart. According to the Bible, that's your heart.
What is?
The center of your being is your conscience that believes or doesn't believe.
Well, conscience was, remember, when we went through the different dispensations, obviously it would not, the Ten Commandments would, and conscience would be in agreement. But there's specifically a time where God says in his word that I'll write him upon your heart is what I'm referring to. But yeah, I mean, but remember, even once sin entered the world, we are dead in trespasses and sin. That happened from Genesis on, right? We're born with a sin nature. No men seek after God. God has to draw us to himself. But yet there's still that kind of that moral barometer, that conscience. Just because the dispensation of conscience was way back before the law doesn't mean that conscience is not active now. Unfortunately, because of sin, we can sear our conscience with a hot iron and it becomes dull and callous and no longer sensitive. I mean, I'm sure you've met some people in your life or read about people or seen people on the news that obviously their conscience is not active. They're totally... And I think if we get in a habit of pushing conscience, kind of like the Holy Spirit. We push the Holy Spirit back, push the Holy Spirit back, push the Holy Spirit back. We get less and less sensitive to that still small voice, don't we? All right. But good point, Gary, good point. All right, let's go over the prayer list. We're going to stop here. Let me finish writing down what I started writing down here. July, today's the 16th, correct?
Yep.
Halfway through July, then we go into August, and then the leaves start falling, and then the snow starts blowing. We're going to get some snow this year, aren't we? What do you guys think? Going to get some snow? We're due. We don't play around with snow. Normally, we don't get a whole lot, or we get a whole lot. Aren't we ready for another 40-incher?
Yep.
What do you think? Huh? Just make sure you keep the freezer stocked with lean beef. And other goodies. All right, continue to pray for the church. That God would bless them, and God would give the increase. He would build a church here, bring visitors in, pray for our nation, pray for Ukraine. I don't know why Russia would want Ukraine now. It's totally destroyed. I mean, what's the point? But anyway, they're still fighting, and we're still dumping billions of dollars there because we have a president that owes them, because they got millions from Ukraine as well as China, etc. That's another series for another time. All right, then law enforcement, pray for the SBC missionaries. Also Samaritan's Purse, Voice of the Martyrs, Jews for Jesus. Pray for Mark and his health. Bill, looks like you're doing better from your fall, but now we gotta work on those kidneys. Get those things rejuvenated. Pray for Fred. Did you have a good week, Fred? Feeling better? Good. Blood pressure staying up? I mean, you're a miracle, man, to have low blood pressure and be married. There's I think it's like 2% of men have low blood. A little humor there to add to the... I mean, my blood pressure's dropped in half since Barbara went to heaven. Just kidding. Just kidding. Actually, it's actually gotten higher. Pray for Missy Nixon, Bill Nicholson, Ronnie and his mom, Judy. Continue to pray for her. Mary and Leonard, continued health and strength. Pray for my daughter, Michelle, oldest daughter. They still don't know what's going on. We're living in a time. There's such a shortage of doctors that you make an appointment, you got to wait months. I mean, George has been dealing with his issues since April. And he's not going to be really checked out. I mean, a few things were done, but nothing really specific until his birthday. Happy birthday to George. That's when he has a couple of invasive tests. And then I have a minor little surgical thing on August the 3rd. And then continue to pray for Lori. Had, all in all, he had a good week. Amen. That's what we're praying for. All right, let's stand together. We'll take these requests to our Lord, and then we'll take a little break and start up at 11 o'clock. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for those that are here in Sunday school today. And we pray, Lord, that you take your word that we looked at and use it to make us a little bit more like Christ. And Lord, we want to be found faithful and committed to you, willing to share the gospel with those we come in contact with. We pray, Lord, you bless the coming hours. We again look to your word in 2 Thessalonians. We finish that great book. We pray, Lord, for those we called out to you that have physical needs. Some have upcoming tests. Lori's going through chemo and taking those pills. We pray for Bill, again, that you would heal his kidneys, that blood pressure would come down, and we pray you continue to give Fred health and strength. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done, how you've heard and answered prayer. We pray for Mark that you heal his body and mind, Lord. And we praise you for being a faithful God, a loving God, a patient God, a good God that provides for us, and far beyond that. We pray you'd bless every part of this day, the meal that follows, the meeting that follows the meal, and especially as your word goes forth again in the next hour. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the word of God, very eager to hear from the Holy Spirit of God today as we seek to know and live in the center of your will. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got about 12 minutes. Can you even believe it? 12 minutes.